name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy.
The Lord has done great things for
us. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Those who sow in tears, he goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow. O Lord God, in your great good times, the gifts of your grace come to us. Our transgressions are forgiven, our lives are renewed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Jaylee, are you reading first?
The first reading comes from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds, have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Lord, to them, behold, I will attend you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this in the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, As the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led all the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. This is the word of the Lord.
First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 31. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than the men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
I ask that you would please stand for our gospel reading. Our gospel is recorded in John chapter 6, beginning with verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated.
Natural disaster occurs. And out of nowhere, it seems, all these people flood into hell, bringing aid and sustenance. A loved one dies, but not from some disease or dangerous occupation, but because of some faithful act of some other individual. And in place of sorrow comes forgiveness. In our Lenten travel, we have come to an event that is beyond our modern comprehension. Somebody is brought to trial with a moral accusation. He is tortured. He is cruelly treated. He is ridiculed and hated. Nails are driven into his flesh and he is left to die. Even the most hardened heart would see death by crucifixion as something mean. But that death brings life and life eternal. This is the character of the cross. This is the matter of God's love, a holy love that surpasses all love, a sacrificial love that is carried out willingly by His Son, a love that others really don't deserve and many don't love. Prophet Jeremiah is carrying a message to the people of God, to Israel, for a variety of reasons, most of which have to do with their sin against God. He brings words of condemnation to them, especially those who carry this responsibility to lead others according to righteousness, to be servants of the people on behalf of the God who serves them. In the course of repeated calls for revenge, this same prophet lights the path with a promise. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch of king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live safely. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord, our righteousness. That's part of the text for this Lenten feast. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours. In the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I invite you to join me in prayer. Father of all creation, it was for love that you promised the Savior. It was for love that you sent Jesus to this dark and dying world. It is love that drew him to the cross and called him to death. It is love that called him out of the grave. And for this we give you praise and glory and honor in Christ Jesus. Amen. The lack of love prevailed in Jeremiah's day. It manifested itself in the word and ways of the priest and the shepherd of God's people who had long set aside the true worship. And the mandate to have no other God, to walk according to a decree that says you should love your neighbor, has all been put away. And rather than preserving and gathering the flock of God, as Jeremiah nails them, you have destroyed and scattered them, he says, by your failure to lead righteously. This is so severe that God has to bring a promise to them that they should already have known. He has to repeat it to them. That ultimately, some of them would come into the place of these liars and destroyers, and he will be a true shepherd to the people. The day comes, and Jesus arrives and does what he is called to do, the good work, the act of righteousness done out of divine love. He gives himself up to death, even death on the cross. We are told in Scripture that no greater love has a man than he would give his life up for another. And he does it not because the other person deserves it, not because the other person even expects or desires it, but because the Father has deemed it right, according to his undeserved love for those lost people. This is the grace that is not of this world, that is a strange thing to the mind of man. Does love drive our daily life? Oh, I'm not talking about you love your family enough that you go get a job and make money so you can put food on the table. Not that love. Not the love that's given because someone gave it to you first. Not the love that is based on selfish pride that looks for some benefit in return. This is a love that is the character of one who knows about Jesus on the cross. A love that is holy and right. A love that knows of a God who is selfless, who pours himself out with concern for those who would receive it, and even for those who would rather not have it. This is how God's love works. We need only look to the cross to see its meaning and its result. The love of the cross is a holy character that otherwise would not come to pass, not without the love of God through his Son Jesus. Paul, in his dealings with the people in the church at Corinth, struggled with them. They were a troubled lot. They had difficulty understanding love beyond their own small minds. Paul put it this way in contrast. He says, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. The weakness of God is stronger than man. Because of him, you are in Christ. The one who has become wisdom from God. The one who is our righteousness. It's quite a picture to consider what God has done from a person's point of view. That God is doing something that to the world is just foolish. God lacks strength to go about, and that's our presumption, to go about solving problems because we think we can do it ourselves. We think we can deal with the problem of sin, with the problem of death and the evil one and his onslaught. We think we're strong enough and wise enough. But when Christ went to the cross, it was considered a scandalous thing, a terrible thing. To have a man die by way of crucifixion, a form of execution reserved for the dregs of society, for the no-account losers, for the scum of the earth, those are the ones who went to the cross. But to have this happen to an innocent man, who in truth is the Son of God, how horrible it must be. And some would think that God is being foolish here. How is he going to accomplish anything by putting his Son to death? God should be showing his power and his glory. And when the people of Israel hearken back into their history, they see that kind of thing. When the people spun up against the Red Sea, and the Lord breathes on the water and opens it up and leaves dry land within the cross. And the enemy pursues them. And the Lord lets the water go. And this great flood, the tsunami, wipes them out. That's the way God ought to be dealing with these problems of sin and death and Satan, with power, with all kinds of great strength and retribution. Wise and strong. Maybe that's what's going through the minds of these people who stand at the base of the cross and ridicule a man dying, who cluck their tongue at him and lodge insults toward this tortured form, unrecognizable as a man. Do they see love being played out on the street? Even the disciples aren't clear. Just what this is all about. What is going on here? And it isn't until Jesus rises from the grave, comes into their midst, and gives to them the understanding and wisdom that comes by the Holy Spirit, that they finally figure it out. But this holy character of love is why Jesus went and did what he did. He projects this love image. He tells his followers about how he came from heaven not to do what he wanted, but to do what the Father's will was. This is the will of the Father, the one who sent me, he says, that I would lose none of all that he has given me, but I would raise them up on the last day, for my Father will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, not because we ought to have it, but because of the love of God and his Son. But today, people still consider it foolish, not particularly wise, weak, and even worthless. If that were not the case, there would be standing room only in every worship service, in every Christian church, all over the world. When sin rules the heart and soul, we operate on an agenda that is based on our own selfish desire and pride. We work and obey what we call the good. We even end up calling God our enemy. There is no holy character of love in the cross in those kinds of people. We would be more than comfortable with the leaders of Jeremiah's day, who have thrown all righteousness to the wind, who reject the call of the prophets to repent and scoff at the promise, the righteous one. It's coming. Blindness is not a matter that you can't see what's going on. It's a case of not wanting to open your eyes. What would the outcome of a Lenten journey be for us? When we go on to the events of the next coming week, Holy Week, and end up with Good Friday as just one more event, just another turn of the season. Maybe think a little bit about Easter, but totally miss the point of an undeserved love. When we take to heart the matter of being of Christ, being those who have his love in us and shine in the dark world, the some Easter morning is just another exercise in having the family get together and being able to buy a new pair of shoes or a suit or a dress. And having a great feast in the afternoon. And maybe think about some leisure events to follow. We walk a path that is dark, but there is a light that shows the way. And may the love of God permeate us to the point of making our character one of holy love. Because the cross of Christ leads the way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's rise in prayer. God of grace, God of undeserved love, dear Father in heaven, you look at us with undeserved kindness and mercy. Be with us as we continue in our path that leads to the cross, knowing that it is out of love you sent your Son that we would be saved. Remind us of the richness of that love given for our sake in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you, Father, for the abundance of mercy that is ours through your Son. We thank you for his sacrifice in our place, that we would have a life and life eternal. Accept our praise and honor on his behalf. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Savior of all who are burdened by sin, you came to this world that our place would be assured in the heavenly realm. You perfectly fulfilled the will of your Father. For the sake of love for the lost, remind us of this wonder as we ponder your suffering and your death and look to your rising again. Be with us daily as we seek to serve you with the love we have received, that we may love one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Spirit, you who are our strength and solace, keep us on the right path by your counsel of the word. Open our lips that we would speak words of love in the gospel of Christ for the sake of those who have need to hear of salvation unsurpassed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to save us, to release us from the weight of sin and death and the evil one's attack. This only because of your love. Enlighten us by this wondrous gift, even to the day that we are called home to that eternal bliss. We ask this in Jesus' name, for it is he who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. It is he who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.